Lord, there may be a lot of good and a lot of bad going on in our lives, but there is definitely a lot to be thankful for. Let's focus on the joy in our lives today and live through us. Amen. The parable of the talents. I've heard it many times. Never really liked this parable. Never really thought I'd voluntarily choose to preach on it. I always kind of struggled with it. And so I'm going to recap with you kind of the struggles that I have and talk about it for a minute. So the parable, there's this master. Now, back in that day, a ruler, it was very common for rulers to go to Rome to lobby to continue their power in their own region. So that's likely the story that Jesus is playing with here, is a familiar scenario where a master would go away to lobby at Rome, and when they come home, they see what's gone on with what they've entrusted. So the master trusts the servants with what belongs to him to see what they do with it. And I've always somewhat identified with the one talent man. You know, I don't know a lot about money. I can pay bills and keep a savings account despite what my husband might think. I can do that. But I have no idea how to make money make money. I don't know what to do to invest it. I'm supposed to be setting up a college fund for my son, and I just feel completely lost in how to do all of that. It's just not my gift. And if somebody gives me money, I can understand just kind of keeping it safe. What's wrong with that? And the master seems so harsh. What was left out of the reading this morning was the actual ending where it says, throw the servant out into the darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Wow, that's harsh. But when I started to look into this parable a little more, I realized it's about so much more. And I want to look at that with you today. See, one of the things Jesus was talking to, one of the people, is the Pharisees of that day. He was talking to the church of the day, which was Israel, and the leaders, and saying, God entrusted you with his image. And what you guys have done is hoarded it and kept it safe. You've created all of these boundary laws to make sure you don't break any of the center laws, and you've kept this little wall around yourselves of safety. You've hoarded it and kept it to yourself instead of sharing. I believe he's also talking to those followers that were listening that were the up-and-coming church, saying, I'm trusting you with my image. What are you going to do with it? And that's the inherent question here. What are you going to do with it? That he's asking you. You're the one he's giving the one talent to. If you have to look at also the parables surrounding it, if you want to turn your Bibles with me, open up your pew Bibles to page 830, Matthew 25. Our beautiful new pew Bibles. I like us all having the same page. You can use one if you brought one. I just think it's really nice because before we had the two different ones, and I have to say page 830 or page 950, and it's really nice to be able to give a generic one. But Matthew 25. The parable just before is a parable of the 10 virgins or the parable of the 10 bridesmaids, same parable, about bridesmaids who have oil and they fall asleep, all of them fall asleep, and they wake up and some of them are ready for the groom to come, and some of them don't have enough oil and have to go get it, and then when they get to the groom and they don't get in the party. Okay? About waiting for the groom and being ready for when he comes. The parable following this is about the final judgment, about the Son of Man returning, the king, the shepherd, the king, all of those, and saying, did you take care of people while I was gone? Because whatever you did for the least of these, you did for me. In the middle of these two parables about somebody returning, somebody going away and returning, we have a story of somebody going away and returning. Jesus just kind of says the same thing three different ways. What is the point of this one? This one has a unique purpose and a unique point of its own. So, let's look at that question. And I want you to keep that question in the back of your heads this whole time. What would you have done with that talent if you were that servant? Now, let's look at what the servant says to the master. You know, picture yourself as the master and hearing this, but I think it's interesting. But verse 24 says, "Master, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you did not sow and gathering where you scattered no seed. So I was afraid, and I went and hid your talent in the ground. Here you have what is yours." This picture of the master. I want you to look at the other two servants for a minute. They clearly didn't have the same picture of the master. They took what the master gave them, and they did something with it. Their picture of the master is very different from the last servant. And the servant is projecting his own fears on the master. He's telling the master how he sees them and projecting it on him. How do you see God? I think so many times people don't reject God. They reject the image of God that they have in their heads. And they reject the God they've seen other Christians portray. We are living in very, very unique times. At Ministry Resource Team this week, we were talking about that a little. You have to live in a bubble not to realize the unique times we're living in this country. The economy is diving, jobs are scarce, the housing market is terrible. People are changing and have needs. They're gonna come to God. They're gonna turn to the church. It's a unique opportunity. What God are we gonna show them? See, I think people often refuse to worship God because of the image of God they've been shown. And when you serve God, what image of God are you serving? Are you serving the God of grace and love and peace? Are you serving a harsh and exacting God, a God who's coming to judge you? What God are you serving? People can't know God, can't know the true God, the God of love, if we don't show them. See, it's cyclical in nature. We have to show God in order for them to know God. But it doesn't end there. See, this idea of the talent, this master wanted to see what the servant would do with it. And he was so disappointed when the servant came back. You have to understand that the master's disappointment, he could care less about the money. He cared about the servant. Now, why would it matter? Why did that matter? Why, if the money was the point, you know? Then he gets he could be sad that he didn't get more. But his reaction is so strong against the servant. You have to know that's what it's about. And here's why. If we keep it to ourselves, it will die. You ever talk to people who say, or maybe you're one of these people, when I first came to God, I was on fire. I was so excited. Or if you've ever been on a retreat where you're just so excited about God and you go away and you go to summer camp or whatever, you get on fire about God, and you come back and it dies. And soon people start living their day-to-day life as if nothing has ever really happened in their lives to make them joyful. If you share that joy on a regular basis, it will grow. If you keep it to yourself, it will die. Guarantee you, any of those people, and if it's you, if you made a point of sharing the joy, you wouldn't lose it. Yeah, it wouldn't always feel the same strength all the time, but you wouldn't lose it. It would grow. I think of good things like Thanksgiving dinner. That's a good thing. I like Thanksgiving food. This year it was kind of nice because we had a small group, but we made the same amount of food, so we had lots of leftovers. And I was very happy with that. If we had taken all that food and shoved it in the sink would have gotten really clogged up. And this, you can push this analogy a little bit, but I want you to think through it. And some of the garbage from the food, some of the peelings or whatever, go down the sink, but you can't just leave it there. You've got to flush it out, or it's just going to get all stuffed up and disgusting. The things that are in there are good, but when you leave them in the drain, in the sink, it gets all stopped up. It's only when you flip the switch for the garbage disposal, you run it through. Sometimes you make your husband get underneath and clear out the garbage disposal because it's necessary. But the importance is keeping it flowing. When we keep our talent to ourselves, it will die. Now, we make a mistake. A lot of times we focus on this story, and we look at the talents, and we look at the person with 5 talents, and the 2 talents, and the 1 talent, and we focus on what we have, you know, versus, you know, talent versus talents, what do I have? We totally miss the point. Now, a talent has nothing to do with money. I want to tell you that. A talent has nothing to do with abilities in this story. That's not the point of the story either. Think of a talent as something of value to God, which includes money, includes your abilities, but it's your entire life. Your life is the talent of this story and everything in it. All of that. And then we often think about, well, I wasn't given many talents, and we keep them to ourselves. I read a quote this week that it just hit this so well. The quote is, and I'm going to say it a couple of times, I would advise you even to write this down because it's amazing. Because we cannot be spectacular, we refuse to be significant. Do you get that? Because we cannot be spectacular, we refuse to be significant. I often listen to preachers on the radio, or I found, you know, some preachers on the internet, they have churches other places, and I listen to them, and I just think, I can't do that. Or you hear stories about, you know, people who have gone, and they started this little ministry that ends up helping millions of people, and you just think, wow, I haven't really done that, and you feel down on yourself. Because you cannot be spectacular, do not refuse to be significant in your own world. How can you make a difference to those around you? Burying your talent, burying your life, burying the talent is like living life happy with maintaining the status quo. Do you get that? I'm going to say it again because this is key. Burying the talent is like living life happy with maintaining the status quo. When you are content to live your life, doing your job, taking care of your family, and going to church, you're burying your talent. I'm not at all saying those aren't good things. I'm saying when we're content to stay there, to not share the joy God has given us, we are burying our talent. We have to share the joy. We worship a God of risk. Do you realize this is a God who first entrusts his image to a people wandering the middle of the desert? And when they mess up, he comes and gives it to a bunch of uneducated Galileans. And there they spread it, and it's us. God has entrusted his own image of who everybody thinks of him to us. That's a risky, risky God. And when we maintain our lives, just don't disturb the waters, I just want to go by my life day by day, we are burying the talent God has given us. I want to point out something in this story. The 5 talents, the 2 talent guys, they received the same reward. Regardless of how spectacular the investment was, the reward was the same. Now, am I talking about being rewarded with salvation? Earning salvation? No, of course not. I have learned something, and I forget it all the time, and I forget to apply it to so many areas of my life, and I keep learning it over and over. And I'm studying this parable, I learned it again, and I just went, duh. Every single thing God asks us to do in the Bible is for us, not for our own good. So, I tell this to the youth all the time when I talk about the commandments and the point of keeping them. If you honor your parents, you're going to have a much happier household. If you don't lie and steal, you're going to be a trustworthy person. Murder's a pretty obvious one. You know, keeping the Sabbath, it's a beautiful gift of rest. These are things God has asked us to do because he knows it's for our own good. The same applies to this. When we don't share the joy of God in our lives, it will die. That is just true. The weeping and gnashing of teeth is the natural consequence of not sharing the joy. It will die. It's just the way it works. When we keep it, we get all stopped up. What are your insides like? Are they all stopped up? Are you keeping the joy of God to yourself and not sharing it regularly, because when you do that, when you keep it to yourself, it will die. This is not about earning salvation. This is about realizing the joy of God. If you don't have this joy of worshiping God, if you don't realize God is not a harsh master waiting to judge you, but someone you want to share happiness with, as he said to the other servants, come share in my happiness, you're not going to want to spend eternity with him. God wants to turn you into the kind of people that wants to be with him. He wants you to want to be with him, and the way to do that is to share your joy. Sharing your joy is the only way to keep it. Does that make sense? You keep it by sharing it. It's the only way it works. So the big question here, I'm not going to leave you with a theory. The big question here is how. It's really easy to talk about it, but how do we do it? We live in a different world. You hear the word postmodernism thrown around. But the truth is, a lot of the ways we have thought about reaching people for Christ aren't going to work necessarily. Sometimes they will, but thinking, if I can just invite my friend to church, I've done my job, is not going to work. You have to have the joy of God in your own life. So, I want you guys to think of somebody right now, somebody you know, an acquaintance, a neighbor, a friend, somebody probably not very close to you, but even somebody close to you. Do you have that doesn't know Christ very well? Let me go, I should tell you who to think of, huh? Somebody that you can tell, they may have an idea of Christianity, a lot of people do, but they don't truly know Christ. Do you have that person in mind? At least one, more than one is okay? I want a nod. Let me know if you have somebody in mind. Thanks, Sarah. I mean, Suzanne, I'm sorry. keep that person in mind. Now, how can you bring that person to Christ? Let me give you some tips that I've been reading lately about how to reach people in the postmodern world. Truly love that person. See, if we go with the idea of, I just got to get this person to join my church, they are going to see right through you. They're going to realize that the truth isn't, that there's nothing more there, that you have this ulterior motive. And you're going to be like a used car salesman or something. They're going to see you like that, and the trust isn't going to be there. But if you can truly love them and help them with all of their needs, physical, mental, all of those, they're going to see that in you. Now, it's this challenge, because when you see somebody and you truly love them, you want to bring them to Christ. And that's beautiful, and that's true motive. But ulterior motive of, I just want them to join my church, is completely different. Do you see that? So the first step is to build trust with this person by truly loving them. When you see them, talk to them, show true interest in them. If somebody you love, you look into their eyes when you talk to them, and you listen to them when they respond. You hear their stories, you hear their struggles, and you meet their current needs as best you can as a friend. And that should be your entire goal for a long time, is just to love them. And that love will turn into a curiosity. This may not happen for a very long time, but it will turn into a curiosity. Who is this person that is loving me for no reason? Why are they so nice? Why are they so different? And eventually, they might ask. That's the scary part. Are you ready to share? Do you have God's joy in your life? Are you ready to share that joy? And I'm not talking about when I was baptized, you know, 15 years ago, or, you know, when I first came to Christ, or this one retreat I went on. This week, where is the joy of God in your life? Are you willing to say, hey, you know, I, you know, got to hang my little son upside down and watch him laugh in my face, and it was just beautiful, and I just praise God for that moment, and just the fact that God gives me these moments gives me joy. Are you willing to share that joy and give credit to God so people can see where the joy comes from? Being open and honest in your faith struggles is going to be key. To have it all together is completely unrealistic, and not one of you does, including me. We don't have it all together. And to be able to say, hey, there's a question that's been bugging me about God, or when they ask me something and I say, I know what you mean, I've really struggled with that question, let's look at it together, that will come through being truly open and honest and not needing to have all the answers. When they do show interest, here's something that I struggle with quite a bit. When they do show interest, be truthful and honest with them about the amazing yet challenging and all-consuming God saying, do you want to know a God that you can give your entire life to? Because he doesn't want just part of it. Challenge them with that. Not, oh, it's easy, you know, just come to church and you'll be happy. No, God wants your whole life. But once again, for your own good, because when God has your own life, true joy comes from that. It's for their own good, but they have, people want to be challenged, and you have to be willing to challenge them and say, this is an amazing God. Are you ready to give everything to him? Do you want to get to know him with me and to help them get to know him? Developing one-on-one friendships intentionally and purposefully is the number one way we can reach people in this scary world we're living in right now. Are you willing to do that for that one person you have in your head? Can you think of ways you can be intentional about showing them that you love them? Can you think of ways right now? Because the fun thing in all of this is it's for your own good. There is no joy like the joy of sharing your own joy. When I got to deliver a Thanksgiving basket to a family that's not part of this church, and she was just in tears that somebody thought of her, that's you guys that thought of her. And I really wish I had taken all of you with me to deliver this basket so you could see the joy in her face and what the joy it gave me because I got to share your love with somebody else. That's how joy grows, only by sharing it. And that is what the story of the talents is about. It's not about your abilities, and it's not about money. It's about your entire life. Are you going to bury your talent and go home and be happy maintaining the status quo? Or are you going to start to be intentional about sharing the joy God has given you? If this is the first time you've ever been told about a God of joy, a God of wonder, a God of grace, I want to invite you to get to know him today. He wants your whole life, and it's so worth giving to him. If you've heard this before, but you may be projecting your fears of God onto God and making God somebody hurtful and scary instead of loving and graceful, I want to invite you to get to know the God of the Bible, the true God, the God that everything he asks of you is for you to grow and have a better, more fulfilled life. And if you need help with that, please talk to me, just about any church member here, an elder. We'd love to share our joy with you, and I can say that with confidence. I love this church. And if you have that joy and you want to share it, I want to challenge you today to find that person, find those people you can share it with, and make the decision today to share your joy. I'm going to take about 30 seconds of silent prayer. I want you to pray for that person in your head. And maybe if it's you that needs to find that joy, I want you to pray to God now to guide you in finding that joy and what intentional steps you're going to take to spread this joy. And then I'll have prayer. Lord, you ask us to do things because you know it is just going to be amazing for us if we will follow the way you do things. You just have our best interest in mind all along. Help us to share that joy so it doesn't die inside of us, to find the opportunities to share with people, to take a risk with your love, and to realize the amazing reward. Live through us. We can only do it by your power. Amen.